Rest. It's something that we all long for, right? Rest, not just for our physical bodies, but rest for our souls. Yet how can we take a hold of that rest today? Well, this morning, that's what we're going to talk about as we continue in our short mini-series, our short two-week mini-series called Upon the People. In this short two-week mini-series, we're reflecting on the weight of the pandemic has placed on our shoulders. Last week, we specifically focused on the weight of loss. And this week, we're going to focus on the weight of burdens. What are we to do when the burdens of life come our way? Well, let's turn our attention to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning to find out. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to begin just by taking a look at a few verses to begin with, verses 4 through 5 to start. It says this, "So we went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the river, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.'" This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the gift of your word. Lord, we know that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And because of that, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day to reflect on your word. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would guide us and direct us in the truth of your word. You would give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, a heart to understand, to know, and love your truth. Lord, I pray that I would not stand in the way of your truth being made known this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in seminary, one of my part-time jobs was to coach JV soccer at a local high school. And one of my responsibilities every day before practice was to fill up one of those large orange coolers full of water at the pavilion, which was kind of in the middle of their sports complex, and then carry it over to the JV soccer field. Now, here's the struggle. That orange Gatorade cooler, it wasn't one of those regular size ones. It was a jumbo size one. So it was the equivalent of two of those things put together. It could hold about 10 to 15 gallons of water, which was about 80 to 100 pounds once you put all the water and the ice in there. So it was incredibly heavy to carry. But the worst part about it was about how awkward it was to carry. It was incredibly long, incredibly round. So every single time you take a step, your legs would bump into the cooler. And of course, the lids on those things, they never work, so it would send out and spill over freezing cold ice water all down my shirt, all down my pants, making it look like I just had a horrible accident. And the problem was, because of this, I would have to take this super wide stance just to carry this cooler without wetting myself. And because of how heavy it was, I was taking short, quick steps in rapid succession, something like this. And I'm fully aware of how ridiculous I looked. I look like a 6-foot waddling duck. Now, the hardship was the pavilion wasn't actually close to the JV soccer field. I had to carry this cooler via my awkward duck waddle a good 75 to 100 yards. And by the very end of this, I was drenched in sweat. I was exhausted. My muscles were burning, and my thoughts were consumed with how much I loathed carrying this burdensome water cooler. Now, let me ask you this morning, though. What if this burdensome water cooler wasn't something that I just had to carry for 100 yards each day before practice? What if this burdensome water cooler was something that I had to carry every day, all day, everywhere I went? I mean, I want you to picture that. What about if I had to carry this water cooler with me all around work, right? I had to carry it with me to the grocery store as I'm shopping. I even had to bring this burdensome cooler with me home, right? I had to carry it when I did dishes. I had to carry it when I was playing with my son. I had to carry it when I went on walks with my wife. See, what we need to realize is that picture It actually depicts each and every single one of our lives. You see, each and every single one of us have a cooler of burdens that we carry. We carry these burdens not simply for a short distance each day. We carry these burdens with us everywhere we go. We carry our burdens with us to work. We carry our burdens with us home. We carry our burdens with us when we're out and about. No matter where we go, there is not a single time when we are not carrying these burdens. This is why many of us today, we find ourselves weary, exhausted, tired, crushed, maybe perhaps frustrated, angry, fearful, or in despair. Because we have these heavy burdens. We're tired of carrying them, and we don't know where we can find rest, relief, and help. Yet today, help is going to come from an unexpected story in Scripture. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we're going to discover where rest, relief, and help comes from as we discover three aspects of God's care for us. God's specific care, God's sovereign care, and God's powerful care. So let's begin by examining the first aspect of God's care, God's specific care for us. And let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's go ahead and read the entire story. It's a short story, it doesn't take long to read, but let's go ahead and read chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says this, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us there get a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' And the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. He said, 'Take it up.' So he reached out his hand, and he took it." Now, at first glance, this story seems completely strange and bizarre. Right? You might be wondering, what did I just read? Right? Did that iron axe head literally float in the water? And yes, it did. But let me start by giving you some background of the story. Elijah, he's a prophet of God. God has worked numerous miraculous things through Elijah for his people up to this point in 2 Kings. And in verse 1, we read about the sons of the prophets. These sons of the prophets, they would have been disciples or students of Elijah, or they would have been students or disciples of other prophets, but in this context, we can see they're disciples and students of Elijah. We learn that their dwelling place is too small. So they ask Elijah permission to go to the banks of the Jordan River to cut down some trees and build a bigger dwelling place for them. And then we come to the crisis in the text. It's a small crisis, but a crisis nonetheless. One of these disciples, he was felling a log, and the axe head goes flying off, and it plops into the Jordan River. Now, we don't know what the Jordan River looked like at this particular spot in the river, but we can know, either based on its depth or its current, that there's no wading into the river and recovering it, right? It's unrecoverable. And this leads the disciple to cry out in anguish, saying, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Now, that word borrowed, it could be literally translated in English as "it was begged for." So this tells us this disciple, he didn't own this axe. He had literally begged someone to loan it to him because he couldn't afford his own. Iron tools in this day and age were relatively expensive. So he just lost an expensive tool that was on loan, and now he has no way to repay it. And he would be required to pay it according to biblical case law. Because any time you lost a loan item, you were required to make full restitution. So here is a story about an unnamed disciple with an individual need. So with this in mind, let's just take a step back for a moment and think about this question. Why is this short story? Right? Why are these seven verses included in Scripture? Right? Why did God give us these words? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this story is seemingly completely trivial. Scripture even appears to highlight this intentionally. When you look at the location of this story in 2 Kings, it's sandwiched between stories with very important people, international conflicts, military engagements, and national crises. So in other words, the story before this, the stories after this, are full of big important things and big important people. And in the middle of this, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we have a short, strange story about an unnamed, unimportant disciple who loses a measly axe head. So why? Why did God give us these words? It's because of this. There's not a single burden in all of life, no matter how big, no matter how small, that is trivial or unimportant to God. God's care is specific for you. He cares about all the details of your life. He cares about providing for your exact needs. He cares what is weighing on your heart heavily this morning. Do you know that? Do you know that God cares for you this morning? See, a theologian, Dale Ralph Davis, he notes that at times we often make these horribly wrong assumptions about God. At times we wrongly make God into our own image. We believe God is too busy, he's too preoccupied, he's too distracted, he's got too much on his plate to deal with the small details of our life. Right? Or we make the wrong assumption that because our God is a big God, he's only concerned about the big burdens in this world. So while God might be concerned about the pandemic, while he might be concerned about what's going on in Afghanistan, while he might be concerned about hurricanes or wildfires or political division, God's not really all that concerned about the small, trivial details of our life. We believe that at times. Yet these assumptions, these beliefs, they're completely false. It is precisely because our God is so big. It is precisely because our God is so great that he can attend to not just the big burdens of this world, but also, as Dale Ralph Davis puts it, the small problems, the dinky details, the individual needs, the mundane and ordinary affairs of the believer's life. And this is something that Jesus himself tells us. In Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7, Jesus says this: "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows." Jesus is reminding you this morning that there is no detail that is too small for God. God knows every detail of our life, even the number of hairs on our head. That is how specific, how detailed, how comprehensive God's care is for our life. He cares about the things that concern us. He cares about the things that trouble us. He cares about your lost axe head. If we don't believe this, if we don't recognize this, we won't take our burdens to the Lord. We won't cast them before his feet. Instead, we'll just let burden after burden after burden pile up on our shoulders over and over and over again until we are weary and exhausted from carrying them, until our thoughts are consumed with anxiety and worry over them, and until we maybe find ourselves crushed, drowning, or in despair because these burdens are too heavy for us to carry. Yet what God commands us in Scripture to do, what God invites us in Scripture to do over and over and over again, is to take our burdens to him, small and big alike. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Right? God commands us, he invites us in our time of need to go to the throne of grace. 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Right? We're called to cast our anxieties, cast our burdens on the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, these are Jesus' words. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." In other words, all who are carrying heavy burdens. "Why? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." So this morning, I encourage you to do exactly that. To give your burdens over to the Lord. I'd encourage you even just to take a second right now and to think about, what are those burdens that are sitting heavy on my heart? Maybe it's fears, frustrations, anger, and weariness from this pandemic. Maybe it's problems, difficulties, deadlines, and projects at work. Maybe it's a relational burden. Maybe it's a responsibility that you have as a caretaker. Maybe it's a relational conflict that you're in the middle of. A financial problem, a health issue. Maybe it's just a big transition that you are going through in life. Whatever it is, though, bring it to the Lord's feet. For there is not a single burden in all of life, no matter how small or how big, that is trivial or unimportant to God. He cares about your lost axe head. This brings us to the second point: God's sovereign care. This is a little detail in our story about God's sovereign care, and it's easily missed. But it's incredibly profound once you see it. But before we get to that, let me just define that word sovereign for us. When we talk about God being sovereign, we're talking about God ruling over all. We're talking about how the Lord has supreme authority, control, and power over all that has happened, all that is happening, all that will happen. And this is something that Scripture talks about over and over and over again. And this is why it's so significant. God uses his sovereign reign to care for us. He rules over and through circumstances to care and provide for us in amazing ways. And perhaps no one says it better than Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 28. "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Right? Our God sovereignly works all things for good, and this is something that we see in this text. So let's take a look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 again, and see if you can identify that small detail of how God is sovereignly working. I'll tell you, it's not obvious, but once you see it, you can't not see it. Verses 1 through 3. "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge, it's too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us there get a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.'" So in our text, these disciples, they ask permission from Elijah to go to the Jordan banks to cut down trees so that they can make a larger dwelling place. Elijah consents, he gives them his blessing to go, but then look at what happens next in our text. Before they go to cut down trees, one of them says, "Elijah, be pleased to go with your servants." Right? So last second, before the caravan leaves, somebody invites Elijah, "Hey, Elijah, come with us." Now, at first, that doesn't seem like an important detail at all in the story. But think about this. What happens in this story if Elijah does not go to the Jordan banks? What happens to the axe head when it goes flying into the river? Well, I'll tell you what happens. If Elijah isn't there, it's forever lost. The river wins. There's no one there to help. So this unnamed disciple is left in distress and despair. And this crushing weight of this burden and the consequences that flow from it are now fixed on his shoulders with no relief. So in light of this, how important was that seemingly insignificant invite for Elijah to join these disciples as they cut down logs? I mean, at that time, Elijah, he had no idea that God was going to use him in this meaningful way. That disciple who invited Elijah to come, he had no idea that God was going to use him in that way. He may have just been trying to score brownie points of, "Master, come along, we want you to join us." Yet in God's sovereign care for this disciple with a borrowed axe head, God sees to it that Elijah is not just invited, but that he goes with these disciples so that he may work in a mighty way to provide for this man. So in other words, before this burden has even occurred, God is preemptively working through his sovereign care to address it. Isn't that amazing how our God works? God is actively, often working to address our future needs and burdens before they ever come to be, before we're even aware of our need for them. Such is the loving, sovereign care of our Heavenly Father. I have this story, and in some ways reminds me of how I met my wife. All right, one of my friends growing up was getting married in Colorado. He invited me to the wedding, but I told him I couldn't go. I had these other commitments that I already agreed to. Well, a couple of days before the wedding, he calls me up. He says, "Michael, I really need an usher. Is there any way that you can make this work to be there?" And I say, "Sure." And little did I know, by attending this wedding in Colorado, that I would meet my future wife, who I would have never have met otherwise. Right? It was unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to my friend who invited me, that God was sovereignly working in my life through that little tiny detail. But this is what God does. He sovereignly rules and reigns in such a way to care for us. The God who is the most powerful being rules and reigns to care for the smallest details of your life. I mean, what love, kindness, and grace is being shown to us that God orders life just so that he may provide for your needs, even the smallest of them. It should give us great comfort and peace in the midst of our burdens. It should spur us on to bring our burdens to the Lord ever more quickly, knowing that while we might not always see it, while we might not be aware of it, that God is actively working in our life in thousands of ways to care for us. Because that is who our God is. He delights to sovereignly work all things for our good. This brings us to the third point, God's powerful care. Let's take a look at how God miraculously works in this story in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. "But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' Then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. And he said, 'Take it up.' So he reached out his hand, and he took it." This story, it speaks of the impossible. This disciple is chopping down a log. His axe head goes flying into the water. The disciple has no human way of recovering this axe. It's lost. But he cries out to Elijah, the one who is the covenant representative who God speaks through and works through for his people. And God, for whatever reason, has Elijah cut off a stick and throw it in the water. And suddenly the axe head begins to float. Now let's remember, this axe head is made of iron. It's not buoyant. It doesn't naturally float on water, right? It naturally sinks. It should be sunk at the bottom of the riverbed like a rock. But it defies all natural laws. It defies gravity. It defies all reason and logic. It floats to the surface despite its heavy metal weight. But the axe head is not just floating. In all likelihood, this axe head is swimming. I mean, think about this. The current in the Jordan River was known for being a fast-flowing river. This means that as this axe head floats to the surface, it's also swimming against the current long enough to stay in one place so that this disciple can go over and pluck it out of the water. This is a story of the miraculous. A story that tells us that even the impossible cannot stand in the way of God powerfully working to provide and care for the burdens of his people. Nothing is too hard for our God. Nothing is beyond the help of our God. No burden is too heavy. No problem is too great. No circumstance is too dire. For our God is the infinite, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, most high God who uses his power to help, deliver, and rescue his people from their burdens. Amen. And we see the chief example of this in Jesus. Mankind was lost in sin. We were destined to die in sin. We had no hope to rescue ourselves. We were crushed under the weight of our sin. Yet Jesus took this burden off of our back. He placed it onto his own. He was crucified in our stead. His body was laid in a tomb. Yet here the infinite power of God was working so that the impossible could take place. If we know one thing in life, we know that dead men don't rise from the dead. Yet death could not contain Jesus. On the third day, the infinite, almighty power of God was unleashed, and Jesus rose from the dead in victory over sin and death. And now when we look to Jesus in faith, we find the infinite power of God working in our lives for salvation. And this should be of great encouragement to us. If God has done the impossible to care for our greatest need in salvation, then we can be assured that he is able to powerfully care for all of our lesser needs in life. Now, it's important to mention the story of the axe head. It doesn't always mean that God will always work in the miraculous and the extraordinary. What we need to know is that God is often powerfully at work through the ordinary and mundane in life. And we would be wise not to forget that. This story also doesn't mean that God makes all of our burdens disappear and resolve completely. Because at times, God's powerful provision for us is not in making our burdens go away, but it's in carrying our burdens in our stead. It's in bearing the weight and sustaining us by his grace as we walk through a heavy season in life. This is what Psalm 55, 22 tells us. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Or Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. So the question for us this morning is this. What will you do with your burdens? Do you want to continue to carry them on your own shoulders? Do you want to continue walking in weariness and exhaustion? Do you want to continue living crushed and crippled under the heavy weight of your troubles? Or will you come to the one who has promised rest for your souls? Will you come to the one who can save and deliver you from death and sin? Will you come to the one who can carry your burdens no matter how heavy they may be? Will you come to the very God who has promised to care for you specifically? The one who has promised to care for you sovereignly? The one who has promised to care for you powerfully? Would you pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning as a people with burdens on our shoulders. Lord, life is full of so many burdens, too many burdens to count. And Lord, because of these burdens, we're often exhausted, weary, we're crushed at times, we're angry at times, we're fearful at times. And Lord, we often go about it the wrong way. At times we try to carry it in our own self-sufficiency. We try to carry it out of our pride, or times we maybe just carry it out of a wrong notion, thinking that our burdens are too trivial or unimportant to you. But Lord, I pray that as we reflect on your word, as we reflect on this strange and unexpected story in Scripture, Lord, that you would encourage us to cast our burdens at your feet, to know that you care for us specifically, sovereignly, and powerfully. Lord, I pray that we would know this morning that in your Son Jesus, we find rest for our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.